Good morning. Glad to see everyone here on this beautiful Lord's Day. I hope your week went well. Can we have assurance? Well, the short answer is yes, we can. We as humans always need reassured, don't we? Whether you got into an argument with your wife or your husband, you need reassured, don't you? Do you still love me? Are you still mad? There are many who deny that we can't know if we are saved. Well, they have no backing for that view, for that belief. They can pull text out of context and say, see, we cannot know. Well, when we look at Scripture, and Scripture should always be our first defense, it should be where we go when we have questions that need answered. But we see that these individuals give only their opinion and not truth. We know throughout Scripture, God reassures Israel, reassures the prophets, reassures the disciples, the apostles, and he reassures us today through his word that, one, he will always be with us as long as we abide in him, and two, those who are faithful till the end, they will have eternal life. And so let's look, because when we look at people who question that if they are saved, it really stems from worry, fear, doubt, insecurities. Worry is a big enemy because it will cause us to question when the reality is you're okay. We can have confidence. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So here's assurance, right? Here's God reassuring, hey, look, if we know him, if we keep his commandments, we abide in God, don't we? He is with us. We have fellowship with him. But those who say, I know him, but don't keep his commandments, they're liars. The truth, it's not in them. They don't have God. They don't have that assurance. They may be lied to and believe it and be blind to it, but they don't. They don't have that same assurance that we have. But here, we know as long as we keep his commandments, we keep his word, that those who are faithful, yeah, you're saved. And if you remain faithful, you're going to make it. You're going to have eternal life. You're going to be in heaven with him. When we look at Moses, Moses showed insecurity. Moses showed doubt. He showed fear. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve the God on this mountain. So here is Moses. Here is his doubt. Who am I that I'm to go into Egypt and bring your people out? If we know the story beforehand, Moses, he was the wife of Pharaoh, took him as a baby, raised him as her own. But one day we see, and he knew, these are my people. These are Hebrews. These are Israelites. They're my people. And he saw a guard beating one. What does he do? He goes and kills the guard and buries him. But the next day we see he sees two Hebrews fighting with one another, and he goes to them and commands them to stop. One of them looks at him and says, "Are you going to kill me like you did that Egyptian guard?" Moses was scared, fear. Well, if they know, surely everyone else knows. So he runs. And of course, Pharaoh finds out and wants Moses dead. But we see Moses runs, he escapes, he gets out, and he ends up with Jethro and his tribe. Who am I? But what does God do here? God reassures Moses, "I will be with you when you go to Egypt. I will be with you." When we go into Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. Then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." And he said, "O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may sin." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will speak with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take his rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs." So Moses, here is his insecurities, his doubt. "I can't speak. I'm not eloquent." Does God reassure him? "Well, I'm God. Who made man's mouth?" He says, "I'll tell you what to say. I'll be with you." Well, then we go to the doubt, right? Well, or the fear once again. Send someone else. "I don't want to do this." God tells him, "Well, don't you have a brother, Aaron, the Levite? He's coming to meet you and he'll go with you. You're going to tell him what to say. He's going to be the speaker," right? God reassures him, "Everything's going to be fine. I'm with you. As long as I'm with you, everything will go well." Even with Israel, when they're out in the wilderness, when they're out and about, God is with them every day. Even though they sin, even though they complain, he's with them. He blesses them. He provides for them. Worry, with insecurities, doubt, fear, these things can cause us, and Satan will use them against you to make you question whether you are saved. Now, we need to understand as Christians, yes, are we worthy of what we received? No. But because of his mercy, because of his love for us, he has given us a way to be saved, and that is through his only Son, Jesus Christ. And he reassures us. He gives us that assurance. Our doubt, fears, insecurities can do a lot of damage. And if we are not vigilant, sober-minded, it can destroy us. It can cost our souls to diminish. We can lose our salvation. We can have confidence. Moses was given confidence. As you look through his life as he continued, his confidence grew and grew and grew. Because what did he do? He leaned on God and his power throughout his time. Now, that doesn't mean Moses was perfect. Let me make this clear. None of us are perfect. None of us. But we can still have that assurance. As long as we are striving daily to grow closer to God through his word, through prayer, and doing what he has commanded us. Because we are given this confidence through his word. We are given confidence through his word. As we look at Psalm 23, a very well-known psalm, a very beautiful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David understood. David ran. He was pursued by Saul. He was pursued by his enemies. But David had the assurance that God would be with him throughout all his troubles. Even when David committed sin. And David did. We see those sins with Bathsheba. Murder, adultery, lying. Even after he sinned, he was still considered a man after God's own heart. We must understand, we're going to sin. But as long as we pick ourselves back up, we repent and keep moving forward, we still have that assurance. You know you are saved as long as you keep his word, as long as you abide in Christ. David knew as long as he still abided with God, in God, and remained faithful, everything was going to be okay. He was going to be delivered. He understood. This psalm, when we look at his rod and his staff, it's his word. He leads us through this life with his word. Once again, we can have assurance that he is with us always. No matter if it's good times or bad times, we can have that assurance. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Once again, the true vine. Verse 1, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We as the branch, if we abide in Christ, guess what? God will assist us in our walk. He will give us what we need. He will provide for us. But the only way that he will assist is if you are in Christ. Those branches who do not bear fruit, those branches who do not abide in Christ, are cut off and cast into the fire. Understand, those who are lost, they don't have that assurance. They don't have that hope, that peace. It's only those who are in Christ that have that assurance, hope, and peace. Without Christ, it's impossible. Without Christ, it's impossible to have the things that he provides. It's impossible to gain eternal life. It's impossible. Because we understand with sin, it separates us from God. Now, once again, God still loves you. Absolutely. And will never stop loving you. But he has called us to come and repent and to do what's right. When we are in Christ, great things will happen. And we can have that assurance. Going on in verse 9 here. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Isn't that assurance? As long as you do my commandments, do as I have asked, I'm your friend. You're in me. You belong to me. I tell people all the time, you keep close to God's word. You keep this in your life daily. You study it. You read it. This is how you know what God's commandments are and what to do. And I promise you, the closer you stick to this, you won't have that fear, that doubt, those insecurities Satan can use against you. Because you're going to know, within God's word, I know that as long as I am striving daily to keep his commandments, I'm good. As long as I'm living faithfully for him, I'm good. Now, yes, when we sin, we have that guilt, that shame that overcomes. And yes, we come to God and we say, Lord, I'm sorry that I have done these evil things in your sight. I'm sorry I've went against your word. Forgive me. Guess what? The blood of Christ washes away those sins. Even after we are baptized into Christ, that blood, that sacrifice remains. We have that blessed assurance, and thank God for the blood of Christ. Because without it, we'd have no assurance. We'd have no hope. We'd be condemned. And so, why neglect such a great salvation? Why neglect the things, the tools that we have been given? Well, that's a good question. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? The Hebrews, and I hold the stance that Paul wrote this letter. Paul here is asking this question, how? How do you neglect so great a salvation? These Hebrews knew the truth, lived under the truth, but many chose to go back under the old law, the law of Moses, which no salvation could be found. It is only in Christ. As we read in John 15, it is only if the branch is in with the vine. They left the truth for a lie, for a false way. Now, yes, the law of Moses pointed what sin is, but it could not take it away. It is only in Christ and his blood that could take away our sins. They've neglected such a great salvation. And we are told in this letter to the Hebrews, guess what? You're going to lose that salvation. You're going to lose that sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, it says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have heard the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries." This verse, as a young Christian, used to scare me. Because I didn't understand what willfully meant at that time. When we look at this text, it is those who desire to remain in the sin, who continue, never trying to do better. We have to understand, God does not, he knows we're not going to be perfect. We're humans. The only one that was perfect while walking on this earth was Christ. He knows we're going to mess up. You look at Peter. Peter denied Christ three times right after he told Christ, "I would die for you." Look at Paul. Paul, before he came to know the truth, he killed Christians, put them in prison. In the world standards today, he'd be an evil man. But when he came to know Christ, did he ever go back to that life willfully? No. Would Paul have messed up? Oh, absolutely he would have messed up throughout his walk. He wasn't perfect. Just because he was an apostle, just because Peter was an apostle, doesn't mean they were perfect. But once again, what did they do? They repented. That godly sorrow led them to true repentance. And they understood they still had that sacrifice. They still had that assurance. We must understand that those who choose to remain in sin and not to be faithful to Christ, absolutely, these are the ones who are willfully, after they had received the knowledge of truth. And once again, there no longer remains that sacrifice. They have been separated from God and they are living in sin in the world. Yes, God still loves them. God still wants them to come back to renew, to repent and renew their walk with him and to become his once again. But sadly, and we don't have any records, but these people here that are being written to, a lot of them most likely died lost. After rejecting, after neglecting such a great salvation. You want to overcome sin? You want to hold on to that sacrifice? We cannot neglect Scripture. This is our weapon. This is what helps us get through daily life, to overcome temptation, overcome obstacles. We can't neglect worship. This is our time to be surrounded by Christians who are of one mind, who love one another, who encourage one another. We neglect just those two areas. Guess what? Our spiritual life will go down. It will diminish. When Ahab became king of Israel, guess what happened? Israel, and it happened before him with his father and stuff. Israel's spiritual decline plummeted to nothing. And when Ahab married Jezebel, it continued and it got worse because they stepped away from God. They willfully stepped away. They went after their sinful desires. Now, once again, they repented. And we see that throughout Judges. We see that throughout their journey. They did repent. They did come back. But yet again, we have to make the effort. There's a part to play. And we do have a part to play by remaining faithful, obeying His commandments, staying in His Word, having a prayer life, communicating with the Father. I have said it many times before, in your marriage, if you're not communicating, it's not going to survive. So do you think your relationship with God will survive if you're not communicating with Him? No, it won't. And Satan's just waiting to pounce. Satan is just ready to use that worry, that fear, that doubt, those insecurities. He's ready to pounce on you and to push you further away from God. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and he in Him. By this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Those who keep His commandments, who pursue Him daily, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things are added unto you. That's our priority here on this earth, is to seek first the kingdom of God, to pursue Him daily, to keep His word, to keep His commandments. And guess what? We can know that we are in Him. When we are baptized into Christ's death, and when we come out of the water, we have received the Holy Spirit. How can we know that? Through Scripture. Scripture should always be your first line of defense. To those who deny that we cannot know, and these are just some texts, 1 John 1:7. And there are many other texts that we can find that we can have assurance. Brothers and sisters, we must understand this is what we must do in order to have that assurance. There are parts that we must work and do. We can't just sit back and say, you know what? As long as I go to worship once a week, I'm good. If we're not pursuing Him daily, that once a week's not going to happen. It's not going to work. Because throughout that week, we're going to fall into sin. We're going to struggle with being faithful. But yet again, even if you do, the Father is waiting for you with arms wide open, ready to receive you back. As long as you come and repent, there will be forgiveness. And you can have assurance, as long as you remain faithful all throughout your life, you are saved and you will get to heaven. It's a promise He has given to those who are faithful. But for those who are lost, you don't have that assurance. You don't have that hope. But if you want to have all of that, well, this is what you must do. You must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe the word, John 3:16-17. Then you must repent of your sins, change one's mind, turn from your sin, do a complete 180 in your life, leave your old life behind. You must confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10, but it doesn't stop there. We must obey the gospel by being baptized for the remission of our sins. Galatians 3:26, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15-16, and so forth and so on. That's how we make contact with the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. And that's how we receive the Holy Spirit. But then we must, and here's the hard part, remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. The rest of our life, every day, daily, we are to remain faithful. To lean on God and His power, to be faithful, to obey, that's what we are called to do the rest of our lives once we make that commitment to Christ. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, understand this is the only way you can have assurance. This is the only way that you can have eternal life and to be in heaven one day. Or if you are a Christian and you're struggling with sin, you're struggling, maybe you have questions, maybe you have doubts, fears, insecurities that are keeping you from coming to God, understand that's Satan. He's trying to keep you away. God is willing. He still loves you and He wants you to come back to Him, to repent and to renew your walk with Him. And allow us as the church to help you, to assist you in any way, to pray for you, whatever it may be. If you're here this morning and you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.